Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
Get out of my house! What do you want from me? I read them!
There is no Bruce Wayne for the Batman.
My recaps would be great if you fuckers didn't interrupt me the whole time.
I have no name to clear.
Go back into your parents' basement, you little troll.
Hey, and welcome back to the Brotherhood of Batman. I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I produce this mess. Thanks for tuning back in.
I'm Ben. I'm the baby brother and your sunshine into Gotham.
And I'm Jake. I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that came up with the crazy list of comics that we read through each week here on the Brotherhood of Batman, a podcast where three brothers get together, read Batman comics, watch Batman movies, talk about anything nerdy and dorky that we want, usually
pretty much
kind of targeted at the DC universe.
Yeah, somewhat.
Yeah. Ben, a note on the intro song. It could have gone a lot worse.
Oh, it was great.
I had Diana Ross's I'm Coming Out as the initial song, and then I was like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't cross that line. And then I thought of some other ones.
As the song is playing, do we hear the screech of the soapbox being drug out of the crew?
Pretty much.
Yeah, you're going to hear a lot from me this episode. I'm excited, though. I'm excited.
Well, before we get into the book that we're reviewing this week, which is Gotham Central Book 1, what's going on in geeky little worlds, guys?
Stop talking about comic books or
what do you think you're doing,
you?
Nerd?
Stop spending
get
all
those
cash
nerds!
Nerd!
Nerd!
Or I swear to God,
geek.
You're going to spend your 20
geek.
Years alone.
Geek.
I'm the Batman of geeks, bitch.
I'll go first.
This episode has been brought to you by Final Fantasy.
Seven Rebirth. So it is, what is today? March 18th. So a dainty little 19 days ago, the video game I've been waiting 10 plus years for, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, came out. And I have clocked, are you ready?
No.
75 hours. I've taken multiple days off work, and it's a good time, and my husband is a very nice, supportive man who lets me do that.
That is impressive amount of hours for...
an adult.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
And I was out of town for 5 of those days.
Oh, okay.
So I would have clocked more, but I was not. And I've been at my job, and I've done social things. Anyways...
So what percent are you through the game at 75 hours?
I'm in chapter 11 out of 14 chapters.
Okay.
I'm going through the different areas, doing most of the side stuff as I go, but leaving a little bit for later. So if I just had to guess a percentage, I'd say like 70.
Okay.
So I'm just guessing. They don't put that on there. They just have the timestamp. And you can see like your percentage of each place. Anyways.
Does it give like stats on... 75 hours, you could have been doing this. You could be one quarter of the way to mastering a musical instrument.
Oh, I'm well
continue
aware.
Continue playing. Go charge your controller.
At 80 hours, it just stops. Go read a book.
It turns down. There was a point where the PlayStation felt a little warm. But that was on day 3 of my weekend. But it has lived up to, like, it surpassed what I wanted it to, which is insane because I had such high expectations. Yeah. I have smiled, I have cried, I have laughed. I have honestly just been living. It's like, think of your favorite remake and what you enjoy for anything, movie, TV shows, whatever. A remake that you've enjoyed. For me, I enjoy remakes that hit all the nostalgic moments. Like your favorite thing about the original, it does that again well, but then it adds and changes things. There's so much in this game that's different, and it's almost like... it's kind of a sequel to it, almost. Like, it really is for the people who've already played the original.
Right.
Because it twists it. And there's multiple dimensions going on. So characters who died in the original are walking around in this game.
And some of the payoffs are dependent on you knowing the twist.
The whole storyline.
And that it is a twist. And this isn't the original.
Yes. Nice. So I'm enjoying myself. I will be playing it when you both leave my house today. And yeah, I'm just very happy. Like, when you're that excited for something and then it like actually pays off is a very
nice
feeling.
There's not a whole lot of times where you get the hype and the excitement for something and then it has that payoff. And
it's become more and more rare in our world because we have so much more geeky stuff that we're exposed to now, right?
And I wonder how much of it is like, you know, Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb or CGN or any of the where you see ratings on games and movies and shows and stuff, like that Argyle movie that had come out, you know, the spy one. The previews looked great. I was like, oh, this looks like it would be a fun family movie, and then it like reviews tanked, and so like, well, I'm not gonna go spend money on that.
Yeah,
and maybe it is even good. I don't know. Maybe it's just the perspective, but I think, and I don't know how much of that actually influences opinions and stuff.
Reviews are hard. Mm-hmm. Reviews, if anything's hard. Like, I used to not pay attention, but I am married to someone who very much pays attention to them, and so it's just kind of a balance on like, well, I don't care. I'm gonna play it anyways, or watch it anyways. But with this, it is getting really good reviews, and people who didn't play the original played the first part of this remake trilogy and are enjoying this. So it is hitting it for the people that hadn't played the original, but it's like layered for the people who are big nerds like me, who have posters around this room of chocobos. So
he's not joking.
You guys, the chocobo racing minigame's really good. That's all I'll say. There's probably like 30 mini games in this game. It's whimsical.
That's many mini games.
Where you were sending me screenshots, there's like an actual TCG, like a trading card game within the video game.
There's a whole trading card game within it. I've gotten pretty good at it. there's a piano mini game, which is like a rhythm game where you play all the
foiling out my deck.
No. But it's just, I don't know. The things I like about Final Fantasy games, which the ones that have come out the last like 10 years have not really hit on, is a blend of like high drama and action with complete ridiculousness. Like one of the people you play as in this game is a robotic cat that rides a big fluffy stuffed animal. And yeah, that's right.
Pretty ridiculous.
That's right next to like villages being burned down and murder. So I like the blend.
Fluffy cats? Murder.
So, anyways, that's what I have been doing and pretty much all I have been doing. What about you two?
Well, it's been watch your back at my house. The Nerf rivals have been out in full.
Did you guys start a game of the traitors?
No. Connor and I were at Walmart like a couple weeks ago, and we were just walking through, or like a week ago or whatever. And he goes to the toy section. We see like the Nerf guns and Legos and stuff. We see this Nerf rival that was marked to clearance at like $8.50.
Ooh.
And he's like, I'm going to get it. And I was like, okay. And I was like, where's mine at home? I'm trying to like go through my head and find my...
I cannot walk in this house unarmed.
Like, Toby was out at like, I don't know, some wrestling or some sport or something. And so, you know, Connor gets this home. And so then like Toby's fighting his. And so like they both have, Connor has two rivals then and Toby has his and I find mine. And then we were at Walmart the other day and I picked up one for Toby. And then I bought this small like handheld one.
Yeah.
And so now it's just been full on, like, if Kelly's not in the room and one of us, the three of us walks out of the room, you better be prepared for being pain when you walk back in, because it's like full on. And they got up early this morning thinking they were going to wake me up by blasting me.
Oh, so you wake up at like 3 a.m.
I know that's not going to happen.
What are they going to do?
But we did a giant like hide battle this afternoon because I'm off spring break, and so like we did the arch this morning and we did some other stuff, and then they were like, let's do one of us starts in the house, one of us starts in the backyard, one starts in the front, and you have to last man standing.
Oh, God.
But then you can go, so we had all the doors of the house unlocked so you could go in through the basement door and through the back door and through the front,
sneaking up
and then like
I'd be screaming the entire time.
Oh, it was great. Like, I found a spot in the basement. And they hate the bathroom in the basement, but there's like, I could stand in the shower entry in the basement and they could not see me because it was so dark. And Toby walked right by guy, and he turns his back, and I just nailed him, and he's like, ah! Like, this total freak out, like, loses shit because he didn't see it coming, and then it's like, you know.
Connor, Kelly was not home for this?
Oh, no, she was at work. And Connor was, like, full-on making a ghillie suit to hang out in the backyard. Like, he's got, like, a fishing vest on, he's this hat. I mean, we see him come out of the branches, and he's got, like, leaves and branches stuck in his hat. And he's asked Kelly K home, and she's like, you got any burlap laying around, Mom? And
she's casually.
So he's putting together this ghillie suit. So I'm sure there will be many many Nerf battles in the next few days.
That's very fun.
A good time. I would like an invite, please. I have not been able to unload in a while. Because the rivals are too strong for Bat Baby, right? Like, they hurt. And so, no. I have quite the arsenal I'll bring over.
Well, when that happens, if Kelly wants to go like shop or something, I'd be down. So
okay, yeah. I'm sure she'd love to get out of the line of fire.
So I love the rivals, but I also really like the megas.
Oh, yeah.
You saying rival or
rival? Rival. R-I-V-A.
Oh, I was thinking it's like
round balls. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm not into that.
Well, then we're feeling the texture difference of them. And there's some that are a lot harder, and so it's all like dibs on the hard ones, so that it inflicts more pain on your your sibling or your parent.
So I think I mentioned last time we recorded, I've fallen too deep into the Disney Lorcana TCG, but it has.
You know what's nice about the Final Fantasy one? I haven't spent any money on that game. Can you say the same, Jake?
You bought the game twice.
Okay, first of all,
actually,
one of them
three times, because didn't he have it originally like eons ago?
First of all, it's How a different game. Second of all, the two copies I bought, I'm returning. I'm saying specifically the trading card game. How much have you spent on Lorcana, Jake?
It's not a
I'm
question.
Sure more than two or three
air.
Video games.
It's work related, right?
It's work related.
Studying up,
But it has reawoken a love of animation and cartooning, one that I've had all of my life. I picked up Don Bluth's autobiography.
Ooh.
I've been reading that. Don Bluth was the lead animator. He was at Disney for a long time, and then he left. And he did Land Before Time, American Tales, Secret of Nim.
Yeah.
That's the standout one for me. And so I've been reading his autobiography.
Cell animation stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, he...
So it's his autobiography?
Yes.
Oh,
it is.
Cool.
It is. It's okay. I'm enjoying the background of it. He is a very religious man.
Well, that kind of shines through in some of his...
Yes. Movies, yeah. Well, yeah, All Dogs Go to Heaven, right? And, you know, a lot of that undertone is in his stuff, which is good for him. It's been a little preachy, but I have enjoyed very much the background into Disney. Like, he had his first job at Disney at, like, 18 or 19 on Sleeping Beauty, right? Oh. And so, like, talking to the 9 old men of Disney were still in the animation studio back then, and they were, like, mentoring him. And
Was he one of the people fired during Sleeping Beauty because it was taking too long to animate it?
No, he left to go on a...
draw faster monkeys!
Basically.
A mission in one of the Mormon missions. Like, he left Disney for years to go do that and then came back.
Interesting.
Huh. Anyways, so it's getting to the good part because...
I am a Mormon!
When he left Disney
and
the second time...
Just believes.
It was during Fox and the Hound, and he took half of the animation studio with him.
Did he take the Hound or the Fox?
He took the little old lady that chases them with a broom.
Oh, I remember her. She was
that movie's sad.
Yeah. So I've been enjoying that. I have always admired his movies. They've always struck a chord a little bit different with me than Disney did. And now digging into that's been fun. So
is fun.
Yeah. That's nice.
This is not meant to sound stupid. Like, I'm genuinely curious. Are there pictures in his autobiography, or is
he
just...
does some sketching? Like, there's little cartoon.
Cool.
Like you would doodle. Like he includes some of his doodles that you kind of get the feeling like while he's writing it, he's probably doodling this on his memoir page or whatever, and he puts some of those in.
Little mice.
So it's not a lot, but it is a few things. So
does he talk about why he deals with mice?
Not yet. No.
I wonder if that's a thing towards Disney.
Mice?
Well, because, like, so American Tale and Secret of Nim, or Secret of Nim Rats.
No mice in America.
Secret of Nim, well, Miss...
American Tale?
Bigsby
is... Streets are lined with cheese.
Miss Bigsby is a mouse, and the rats of Nim are the other ones.
Okay. I am interested, but Aaron and I got distracted. No, that is cool, too.
Right.
So is that a book you already had? Or and just
no,
haven't?
I got it. Yeah.
Cool. Nice.
I've been cool. looking at a couple different Disney ones that I want to read after this, but I'll wait until I finish this one.
So. Well, I have some Disney animation books if you ever want to borrow them.
Thank you.
So, great.
But go play Lorcana. It's a lot of fun.
There's some right there.
I saw them. That's why I was thinking about it. We also bought a bunch of the Villainous expansions because... I get that way when I get into something. So
no, Jake just starts buying things.
Villainous is so fun. That's a very fun game.
It is fun.
Play. Yeah. Anyways, you guys want to talk about some Batman?
Sure.
Yeah,
or
actually,
not
I do.
Batman?
I do.
All right. Well, this week we read Gotham Central Book 1, In the Line of Duty. This is the first 10 issues done by Brubaker and Rucka. And they will stay on the title for the entire 40-issue run, or at least one of them will. And I think the artist stays almost the same, Michael Lark.
So did they co-write it?
Yes, a couple of the issues, and then they would kind of swap. So this is peels back the curtain of what happens in the GCPD. There's a day shift and a night shift with two different casts of detectives in the major crimes unit that it follows. We get a couple supervillains that they have to interact with. And then we get some very personal tales of one of the more familiar cast members that we've had a lot to do with so far. And it kind of evolves from there. But... yeah, I mean, it's a very straightforward concept, I think, right? Like, let's just do a cops procedural show in Batman's world.
Yeah, it's very, very heavy on the cop drama. I like that aspect of, you know, I started reading, and I was like, oh, this is, you know, they're not total morons as they're sometimes portrayed when Batman's there. And then they're trying to avoid calling Batman at different times. Like, no, we can do it ourselves. I don't want you to call him. But, you know, there's some different elements I thought was neat hearing it from the police side. Like, what does it actually seem like from them?
It will be no surprise to anyone that I had no interest in reading this. I picked up this book and I said, okay, Ben, we're going to do this. I didn't know where it was going. I didn't know. Like, I knew Renee Montoya was in it. That was pretty much all I knew. And I flipped through it. I was like, this is not my art style. This is 10 issues. I actually read every panel.
Wow. This took a longer to get through. It was not a quick read. It was pretty wordy.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's not very action heavy yet. There are a few points with some good action sequences and stuff, but it is definitely a drama. It is definitely a character-based story. Like, we have several characters that we've known for a while. You mentioned Renee Montoya. We have Crispus Allen.
Her partner.
Renee's partner. We have
Post-Bullock.
Correct. And Bullock is mentioned quite a bit. His past with the GCPD hangs over them pretty heavily.
You were starting to say Maggie Sawyer
from
Metropolis.
Yep. Is she the daytime or the nighttime chief? She's one of them. I can't remember.
Dude, yeah, I didn't know there was a daytime and nighttime shift difference situation going on here until you just said it.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't a focus for me.
But they introduce quite a few that I like the idea that any one of these detectives from the major crimes unit could have been in previous stories. Like, it's mentioned at one point that this is the crew that Gordon put together. This is Gordon's trusted group of detectives. And it's just now, since Gordon's been gone, that they're going to introduce the first one that Gordon didn't handpick.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the plot lines throughout this. But I like that none of them felt so big and over the top as a characterization that they couldn't have existed in all the stories so far.
Mm-hmm.
We're just now getting them fleshed out.
Right. And we have Montoya being framed for a murder again. Like, she was framed previously, right? Or am I imagining something? Because I swear she was, like, arrested and framed for... Or was she not?
I don't remember, but she has been tied up with Two-Face before. Like, that's an ongoing thing. But the actual framing, I don't remember.
Okay, maybe I'm not. I can't remember.
I mean, there's been a lot of that going on in Gotham.
I read that, and I was like, didn't she get, like, framed for something, like, long... I don't remember. couple.
I can't remember.
Bruce Wayne did.
I know. I know Bruce Wayne did. I thought Montoya was arrested for something, and but maybe I'm just imagining.
I'm
remember.
Not sure. So in these 10 issues, there's like three main stories.
Yes.
So
they're all kind of like little vignettes, a couple issues at a time.
It starts with Mr. Freeze. And that is really the one that when I finished it, it's like two, maybe three issues long. Two.
Yeah.
When I finished it, I was like, okay, this was cool. I like the, like, we're trying to not call Batman. Batman's in like two or three panels.
Right.
I like this, like, behind the curtain, but me being me was like, cool, this could have been it. Like, this could have been like a short story, like right. a little spinoff, a little thing in Detective Comics. Why does this need to be an ongoing? And then we get the second one, and that was about Firebug, which I'm glad they get confused or they make a reference to Firefly, because I'm sitting here being like, why are they calling him Firebug?
Yeah,
Firefly
same.
The whole
like,
time.
Wait a minute, yeah.
So apparently there's two.
There are two arsonists. Yeah, or there were. Yeah.
Right. And that one was fine. I'm like, okay, I'm vibing. Why is there still so much to go? And then we get to the Renee Montoya of it all. I was like, oh, this is why we're reading this, probably.
Yeah, yeah. It is the big story of this first volume. Renee is publicly outed as a lesbian. She is being followed by a PI who's taken pictures of her, and these pictures are then sent to her workplace and her family and expose her in a way that she was not wanting or ready for. And we find out that it's not just the thug that she thinks is setting her up. It's actually Harvey Dent.
What? You mean there's a second side to what's going on?
I don't know. That whole story is called like Half Life or something. Yeah. It was very clearly going to be Two-Face for a while.
But so, this is a payoff from them having several interactions ever since right about the start of No Man's Land. I think around the earthquake time is when they first had their first real run-in.
Now, to clarify, this is her being outed to us, too, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe there has been no indication up to this point. If I'm wrong in that, I didn't do the research because I thought that
we
was,
hadn't read anything yet.
Right. Other than she hasn't, as far as I know, or nothing that we've read that has she had dates and love interests that have been on the page. So.
Go ahead, Jake.
Well, they kind of handle that, I think, well, with a single line of dialogue that she has later in the story of when Chris is talking to her and he's like, why didn't you tell me? You could trust me. I want you to trust me. I'm your partner. She's like, well, my last partner was Harvey Bullock. If he had known, how far do you think I would have gotten?
Right.
And I like that they use that as maybe the reason that it's been so long that she's been in continuity without this coming about, because she has had to hide it, because even the person, like, they had a great relationship, her and Harvey, like they saved each other multiple times, but when it started it was rocky. And so to find that even in that development she hadn't grown comfortable enough with him as a friend or a comrade that she could share this side of herself with, I thought was that line for me dealt with the lack of any evidence that we had had up to this point.
That's fair. Are we done with Harvey? Is Bullock done? Okay, good. I like him.
Not in canon continuity. I mean, it may be a little bit, but
okay. No, I'm curious on whether or not he would have accepted if he'd known.
Right.
I don't think we don't get that opportunity to know on how that dynamic would have been, but it would have been interesting to see, you know, whether he, because they got along so well and because they were so partners for such a long time in the story, would it have been different?
So this was written in 2003, just to throw that out there. This was a time where, let me get in my little gay box. This was a time.
Does that sound like, as you drag it across
squeaking?
The floor?
You can't say that. So this was a time where gay characters were definitely more happening in television, right. But they were either in comedies or they were after 8 p.m.
Was that like the Will and Grace era? It was,
Will and Grace was happening, yes. Willow on Buffy had happened, but her gay
he
kiss
somehow got
was...
it back to Buffy. He did that last week, too.
I'm sure there's going to be a chocobo coming up soon.
Oh, I did. I actually have, like, when y'all are like, anything else you want to share, I, like, did research on, like, gay DC things of the time period. But anyways, so it was, so I, when I realized.
Pride in his research.
I do take pride in my research. June is coming. So anyways, Ben tries to be serious. So when I realized what was happening in this story, obviously I knew this information about Renee Montoya because I know things in the future, but I didn't know when we were getting it. And I didn't know how it was going to happen. I didn't realize that it was going to be a storyline. But I was like, I guess that makes sense. They're not just going to randomly be like, this character who's been around is gay and we're not going to talk about it. It's the early 2000s. They're going to make a storyline, make a tragic storyline out of it. So I was really nervous reading this. I think they handled it pretty well.
Okay. I was waiting for your review because
I know you were. I think they did.
I didn't want to tiptoe around it, but I thought it was done extremely well. Like, there's enough given to it, but it doesn't end up being about that. It's about how she reacts to everybody around her.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I thought it was when it occurred, I was like, okay, this could either go like really preachy one way, or it could go really stereotypically bad one way. I didn't think it went either of those. I thought it was like, okay, this is decently put out there, and obviously not living that, but it seemed more on the realistic side for a comic on what she might have to with her family not being accepting and having to do that. I'm glad that she not. I don't want to say that, but I'm glad that they didn't do this. I'm going to go tell my parents and make. Try and then, you know, the whole gloss over make everything okay.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen for that's not
for everybody.
For everybody
in 2003, correct, especially with her background, like her heritage, her Latina background in that culture, it would not be as oh yeah, no big deal. Like when I came out in 2004, with our. You know, white Catholic family that was like, okay, I guess we what don't go to church now or we find a gay church. And so like, it's a different background. Right, and so I did feel like it was realistic. It is a little trauma-y, but at the time, those are the stories you're getting. Like nowadays, a gay comic book story or a gay character in a comic book is going to be the, oh, we have always known and we love you. That's great.
Right.
Kids nowadays need that. Yeah. But in 2003, this is what was happening. And I think it did it pretty well. I really liked that there were characters that were bad, that were not cool with it, were throwing around the D word, were saying all this stuff. I like that there were negative characters and I like that there were positive characters. Like her partner, I think, was really cool. And then this new relationship that we got from her, like her lover, what's the name?
Harvey.
Basically. I'm like, Harvey? He's like, love me. I'm like, she's a lesbian.
Don't care. The coin says otherwise.
You can be both. I am.
He has a third personality now, and that is a woman. So Harvey Dent, the new trans icon. No, I'm just kidding.
I'd be careful what you wish for.
I'm sorry. Oh, God. No, Aaron's writing something down.
I was very concerned. So I did know what was coming. I actually didn't know that it happened in the first volume. We did not read this specific volume for that story. I'm very glad it happens early. I'll give my review about Gotham Central at the end. But I think it was a good jump in for the whole cast. I thought they were going to refrigerate her girlfriend.
Same.
And I got real fucking nervous.
Same.
I'm enjoying like two or three issues into that story. I'm like, oh no, she is going
like,
to
there's
die.
A lot of hostilities and she's being framed for murder. Is it going to be they're going to kill the girlfriend now and she's going to be framed for that because she's trying to hide and get back into the closet and whatever.
And Harvey had the same thought. He's like, I'll just go kill her and then you'll be mine. But
You know what's wild? It didn't cross my mind. What? I didn't think the girlfriend was going to die. And I love that we've read enough and had these good conversations where you two were worried about it. I love that. That's amazing.
I was only worried because I didn't want to deal with you.
Fair. 100% fair. But you still had it in your brain and you still had the like the fridging and all that in your brain. So I think that's amazing. I wasn't concerned and I don't know why. That's weird. I think I was just like, she got enough going on. Jeez. I don't know.
Now, Harvey is given a lot of time in their story together. Almost a whole issue if it's just the two of them after he kidnaps her and takes her to his underground hotel.
Jesus Christ.
That's what it was.
That was spooky. When she pulled the curtain back and or when they pulled the curtain back and it's just like ground, I was like, that is terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be pretty frightening.
I really liked in the other two vignettes or the other two shorter stories, like, even though they have a supervillain, one, going back, and if you guys want to keep talking about Renee, we can, but to touch on the supervillains, Freeze was done in the first one, but he's not in it. He's in it almost as little as Batman is. He is the catalyst for that story, and he's scary. Like, he's freezing people from the inside
out.
Yeah,
no, that was pretty badass. I was like, this is really kind of pretty cool take on Mr. Freeze. He's not...
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
Well, he does need the diamonds for his suit.
I know. And, okay, I wrote that down. Is this the first...
I tried to find anything that would refer to it in comics, and everything just kept coming up with the movie.
So we'll say
I think it might be. Yeah, I think after the movie, they made his suit powered by diamonds in this.
I really liked when they're going after Freeze, that there's not only this, like, we don't want to call Batman, but there's actually, like, a clock in a couple of these panels, and you see the time ticking away until they call Batman, and I'm like, wow, like, I know that they only call him at night, but this book is really laying it down that, like, Batman's job is night. I'm like, think about how much more he could be doing if he just gave away Bruce Wayne and just did his damn job all the time.
Well, he's tried to do that.
I know, and it doesn't work out.
It's not healthy.
Maybe he could just find, like, some guy to help him be Batman in part-time. Some schlub that's got hallucinations and beats up Santa Claus.
It'd be good if he was blonde, because that's a daytime really color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could really do some
color. As I sit here with my blood.
And then the second story having Firebug and...
That was such a good mystery. I was hooked on the actual mystery and detective solving of that. They're trying to find out what happened to this 14-year-old girl, and there's all these suspects.
Babysitting club. And
yeah, you see the actual detective work, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Well, and I didn't put it together right away when I was reading it, but that case that they're doing in the second story is what they started the very first story with. It's why the detective showed up to where Mr. Freeze was. And so I love that, you know, the Batman stories, like even something as big and huge as Hush, you read it, it's this one problem, it's solved, and yeah, maybe there's some big impact, but most of the time it's just you keep moving on. The idea that they're going to draw these cases, and some cases are closed, some cases are left cold, but they'll maybe revisit them until they can close that. I think that's really well done.
Yeah, I like that case too. I mean, the parents of the kid that she was babysitting for, man, they were so guilty. Like, they just seemed guilty when they were first shown. They had not care whatsoever that this girl was missing. Yes. They just needed to make their dinner date or whatever the hell it was. Or
get the kid to his piano lessons.
Yeah, it was like they didn't care. So, I you know, and that's kind of how a lot of people are. That's just about them, especially with rich firebombing people, apparently.
Well, he did actually murder her. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true.
But I bought that he might not have and just been an asshole.
Right, right. You know, there's a lot of portrayals of assholes on this thing. So.
Well, and he is such a rich asshole that he bought the Firebug outfit from some underground supervillain auction site.
I know. I really want to go to a supervillain auction site. God, I'd love that.
But it's okay that he sold it that way because he said it's just memorabilia.
I would love for Aaron to show up one day in a Condiment King outfit that he bought.
On G-Bay.
On G-Bay.
Found on G-Bay.
But yeah, most of this is driven by, I think he's a new character, Marcus Driver, Detective Marcus Driver.
Guy who gets his hands frozen in the first couple pages.
Well, yeah. What did you think of him when he, like, calls Batman just to be like, we did it without you. We don't need your help.
Batman's like, don't touch my shit. Don't turn that damn light on ever again.
I mean, I actually really liked it, and I really liked, I don't know that I like him yet, but I liked that there was a character that felt that way. And you would have to think that if somebody goes through the police academy, they get assigned to, or they decide to stay and become a police officer in Gotham, they know that they're going to have Batman always hanging over them, right? And how can you have pride in what you're doing or continue doing it with as much emphasis as you need to do a good job if you know that there's just this superhero that's going to pick up the slack, right? And so seeing their reactions to him, I thought, is very important. I really like that.
Yes, I liked how they were able to solve a lot, but Batman still like saved their ass like three times in here when it was just like, yeah, I'll take care of that. And he just comes and he saves Montoya at the end. And, you know, he saves a bunch of times throughout here where it's like, oh, well, you kind of still need him, don't you?
Oh, they definitely need him.
Oh, yeah.
To the point where there was times where I was like, so am I supposed to be conflicted on if these people's jobs are needed?
So, well, maybe
he can't
a little
be everywhere
bit.
At once.
Right.
But they definitely are clear that, like, it's a quote unquote freak case and Batman's going to step in. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the whole clock ticking down. If they didn't get freeze by nightfall, Batman was going to step in because it's one of his costume guys. Like, he's not stepping in to investigate the homeless people in the park that might have been the murderer.
Yeah. Or even the 14-year-old girl that died. Mm-hmm. He didn't deal with that.
He didn't do any of that. He's coming after the big players, and that's what they probably know they need help with because he's one of them.
What did you think about when Montoya is like arrested? Like how quick everybody turns against her once their photo of her and her girlfriend's shown. She gets like framed for the murder, and they're like, I don't know if it's the department below that was on burglary or whatever that's leading the charge to arrest her or leading the... But they all kind of turned against her.
I was not surprised.
I wonder if they're trying to build some division in the major crimes unit from the rest of the department anyways. Like, oh, these are Gordon's,
People,
and they got their noses turned up to all of us lowly, you know, street cops and all that kind of stuff. Maybe there is some animosity there that this was playing against, but I thought it is a rough and dirty town that they live in, and they all turned on her pretty damn fast.
Except her partner. How many issues does this book go on for?
It is 40 issues. Oh. It's a 40 issue.
So
series.
We just read a fourth of it.
Yeah, and it's all collected. We're going to read some more of it. I'll say that for my reviews.
Something we have talked about a lot with DC Comics, particularly all the different Batman Gotham books that there are, is how there's a different book for every person.
Yes.
And I really felt like this was really going even further with that, as like, oh, you want a crime, like an actual like, you
detective-y
know,
story.
Thank you. Yeah. You want like a, what are those shows people watch on TV? Like
procedural.
Law and Order and
crime
show. Crime shows.
Crime procedural.
It was literally that with like Batman in like four panels. And we've joked a lot about how I like these books when he's not in them, but this particularly, it worked with how little they used him and when they used him.
Yeah. I mean, he was designed to be like, we don't want to call on him. We know he's going to show up periodically and help us, but we don't want that. So them throwing him in here four to five times just randomly with him doing what he's got to do, I think fit because he wasn't the focal point. He was always that, what's behind door number three? If we get there and we know what's behind this door. Everybody knows, all our readers do. We just try not to open it.
Yeah, but having the Two-Face and Renee story so early in the series remind you that even though they are able to keep a lot of that at arm's length and not have to deal with everything, they're still in Gotham, and that still is an infection on everybody there, and you can't escape it if you live in that fucking city. I don't know why anybody lives there. They just fucking move. Like, we should all just get out.
Run
but,
away!
Yeah, I liked it.
Nice stuff.
Ben, I wanted to make sure I pointed out that they say that Gotham City is not the city of tomorrow. It's not San Francisco. It's not New York.
I know. There is a New York in the DC universe. Uh-huh.
That answers a very recent debate we were having. So
not a debate, a question.
A question.
Did you read any before the actual story, the intro pages?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, it was not good.
Well, I didn't read all of it. I kind of just read a little bit. But like, it kind of talks about the origin of the term Gotham and how that was used. And it mentioned yeah, Gotham. Washington Irving, who wrote Sleepy Hollow, and Edgar Allan Poe both referenced the term Gotham in some of their stories and their poems and stuff. So
nice.
Kind of interesting. I didn't know if you picked up on that. But that kind of definitely, both of those were not like, were both dark kind of writing, both of those people. So I think that dark noir Gotham-esque feel maybe translated
fits
a little bit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Quite
fits
a bit.
From them. Yeah. Reviews?
Well, I want to make one correction real quick. Okay. Ben said, or maybe Aaron said, that Batman saves Renee. I think fucking Batman saved Harvey from Renee at the end. I think she probably would have. They were fighting over the gun. If she had gotten it, I think Harvey would be dead.
Or Two-Face.
Or both.
It was definitely I'm going to keep you from
or it's all three.
It was, he even says like, I'm going to keep you from killing this person basically. Yeah. But he does come and breaks it up.
I did like his line when Renee asks, why have you ruined my life? And he's like, I didn't, he did. That's how the coin came down. I mean, come on, you know me. Like, do you not understand the logistics here?
Yeah, this was some good Two-Face. He was mean. He was gross.
This is some of the nastier Two-Face.
Yeah, he's nasty. That's a good term.
Well, he did a lot of crazy shit here.
Yeah, he did a lot.
Just to have a girlfriend.
So yeah, we didn't say like he wants to ruin her life so that she will stay with him.
Yeah, that's some like Quasimodo crazy shit. Yeah, no, that's bad. Well, it's also crazy, like, it's kind of funny because it's such a serious topic, like outing someone in the workplace into their family is like a huge thing still today, but it was really just this crazy multi-personality guy that's like, I want you to love me, and so he's doing all these actual and killing people and like doing all these crazy things for like
attention.
Have steak with me? Like, that's bonkers and kind of funny. I don't know that I would think it was funny in 2003, but I think it's funny now. So.
Well, he did get her over for dinner.
She didn't eat any of it.
She didn't eat. But she left pretty early.
Oh, you know what? If I'd been. No, I was paying attention. I don't know what I missed, but I should have been nervous when he's like, oh, I sent some of my men to go get dessert from the restaurant that your girlfriend works at. That would have been the fridging moment.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I wonder if there was a draft and they said, no, y'all, we got to cut this back a little bit.
I mean,
we're getting complaints from Maytag. Oh, good.
Yeah.
He would have died. That would be the end of Two-Face.
Yeah, I don't know that she's safe. Her name is Daria. I don't know how you say that.
Deidre?
D-A-R?
D-A-R-I-A.
Deirdre?
Daria?
Oh, Daria. Yeah, Daria? I was going to say Deirdre. Yeah, it's Daria.
So.
Yeah.
Hopefully Daria makes it through the series.
I'm not attached. We don't know anything about her other
than
it's
a chef.
It's, you're right. It's one thing that.
Well, hopefully she lives through.
Correct. It's one thing that Renee has to be like, it's a positive in Renee's life right now.
Yes.
Which she doesn't have a whole lot of else at the end of the
day. No, she doesn't. Her family turns on her, disowns her.
Was there a point where y'all thought the brother, I thought the brother killed the guy at one point? Because
the brother's been in it a few times in some of the No Man's Land stuff. So he's just...
Well, he shows up when she has a safe open. So I was just like, oh, maybe she didn't lock it. Because you see her place the gun down and she answers the door.
Okay.
And so I thought that he was the only person in the apartment when the safe was open.
It somehow.
I don't think he did, but when it was happening, I was suspicious of him because he was in there when the safe was open.
Okay, true. I can say maybe that crossed my mind too, yeah. because it was clear that she
and he wanted to look out for her, but was maybe dumb and used her own gun, like something stupid, like
right. Could be. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Before we move on to review, there is quite a bit of reference to Harvey, because Harvey went after the guy who shot Gordon, and although he didn't pull the trigger, he did give him up to the mob that was looking for him, and that led to that guy's death, and then Internal Affairs was basically pushed Harvey out. That's why he's not on the force anymore, and so that is still very new and fresh to all of them. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's too long away that he comes back. I actually kind of thought that he may have like a cameo in this, as like where we would see what his reaction with Renee was. Like maybe he surprises her and shows support or something. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
who knows what he's up to right now?
I guess we'll have to find out.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to save my homosexual research for next week. But keep in mind this conversation for when that comes about.
Okay.
I think next week makes more sense.
Reviews of this book?
But let me ask you something. What do you think of this? Say it's
all right. That was terrible. Right. Horrendous. I'm offended. I'm appalled. Right.
That was
awesome. It's all right.
Whoa, yes.
It's yes.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good storytelling. I thought it had depth. I thought the different perspectives came into play from the GCPD, and I kind of liked the mystery storytelling.
Yeah. I was shocked that I enjoyed it as much as I did. I thought it was well written. It was good. I don't need to read it again, and I'm not buying it. We're not going that far, guys. But for a completely un-Ben book, I thought it was really good. And the Renee stuff, like, I was getting to the point of being like, okay, I'm ready to start skimming to the end of this, because I kind of got the gist from the first half. And then the second half is like, okay, now we've got some queer shit going on. All right, I'll finish the book, Jake. I'll finish the book. So yeah, I'm happy we read this.
Nice.
I have not read Gotham Central before. I will say
you're supposed to read it for this episode, dumbass.
Yeah, fuck off, Jake. That's what we were just reviewing for the last hour.
This is maybe my favorite book that we have read in the past few years.
Wow.
Young Justice is offended.
As they should be, because it was intended. I thought it was phenomenal writing. It is my kind of story, where you take a known universe and you pick one small unexplored facet of it, mm-hmm. and blow that out and develop it and build that world. And I adored it. Brubaker and Lark, the Ed Brubaker and Michael Lark, the artist, they do my favorite run on Daredevil.
That's familiar.
A very, almost a little bit of a similar story. He is outed as Matt Murdock, ends up in jail, has a run-in with the Punisher and stuff, and it's this piecing his story together through all these other things that are pulled in from the universe around him, and it felt a lot like this. And I whether we read it for the show, I know we have at least one more episode covering something from Gotham Central, but I intend to read the whole 40-issue series. I absolutely adored it. It is definitely my kind of comic book. I don't know that I would change a single thing about it.
Oh.
I was going to ask if you were going to read all of them. Can I ask you to please read all of them after we get past that timeline, so we don't get all 40 of them added into the timeline?
I will not add more into the timeline, but I will probably read as we go to keep up
fair,
with it.
Fair.
Because it's only 40. It's like four. I think it's five volumes. Five volumes. Or is it four? It may be four. It's not very long. So.
Nice.
What's next, Jake?
Well, if you're reading along with us, we might have a problem. But we are reading Titans and Young Justice Graduation Day next.
Only three issues. You're welcome.
Yeah, don't buy the trade. It is like wildly expensive.
Yeah.
For a three-issue trade.
I will noted. I will not be buying
that. I'm sure he was going to until you told him not to. Aaron, what did we learn today?
It's that time again.
to do another one of our cute little skits?
No, it's time to learn the day's lesson. And to find out what it is, we turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of
Batman.
Turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Oh, Ben. We did learn that the new trans icon is Harvey Dent.
Oh, no. I apologize for the brother of the Batman. I have been your sunshine in Gotham, and I just so happen to be the youngest brother.
Aaron, I'm the oldest out of us. I'll clean it up. Thanks for listening.
And I'm Jake, the middle brother. We appreciate you guys, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Wow, we all liked something.
Hopes of bitterest plants this season.